Hello everyone, this is Martin Zender and you are at the Revelation Series. You can tell I'm doing something a little different today. I am on the road. I don't have my microphone with me. I'm counting on my onboard microphone, which can't be as good as my regular microphone. But we're going to see what we can do here. I have a spacious desk here. You may ask where I am. I may say this, that I'm at an undisclosed location. As you know, my beloved 1999 Ford Contour was smashed into while it was legally parked. I shared this information in my newsletter a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, not sure. I was legally parked because I, Martin Zender, would never illegally park, and I wasn't with the car. I was away with other people, and we got a call that my car was smashed into by a hit-and-run driver. It was totaled, which my beloved 1999 Ford Contour with 203,000 miles, not hard to total that car. So, and the driver was hit and run. That means they hit and ran. And so no one has ever found the culprit. But the culprit will be discovered someday. I don't know when that day will be. But in the meantime, how do they sleep at night? So I'm out of car. So a believer has stepped forward to donate a car to me. With all grace and love and peace and unbelievable. So I am extremely grateful. So I am here to pick up this vehicle, which is a safer vehicle, a newer vehicle, a nicer vehicle than the one I was driving. Because the cop told me there was so much rust underneath my car from 17 years of Ohio winters. This is the protection of God. That if I had been hit with the impact that totaled that car, I'm telling you folks, the wheel came off. Not just the tire. The wheel, the axle broke. The axle snapped. And the wheel was off. And the axle was sticking up out of the wheel. Look, go to the ZWTF of last weekend. Whenever that was. I forget what the date was. And I have pictures of it there. And the side, it looked like it would hit at 100 miles an hour. But the cop said it was a low impact strike. And I said, excuse me, sir, I have every respect for law enforcement officers such as yourself, but you can't tell me that this impact was any less than 112 miles an hour. He said it was probably 15 miles an hour. Sir, your car is rotting from the inside out. This man who hit you did you a great favor. That's what the policeman said. There were witnesses. Ask the witnesses. There were witnesses to what he said. There were no witnesses, naturally, to the strike itself. So he said, this guy or this woman, whoever hit you. See, I'm assuming it's a guy because I don't go in with this idea that women drivers, the stereotype women drivers, I don't go for that. In fact, the statistics show that most violent drivers, most bad drivers, most people who are in jail for driving incidents are males. So I'm assuming it was a man who hit my car. This guy, said the law enforcement officer, did you a great favor by destroying this car. Even though it was a beloved car, it belonged to my father, then to my mother. They both died. My joke was, this was my joke. I said, well, this car belonged to my mother, to my father, then he died. Then it belonged to my mother, then she died. Now it belongs to me, now I'm going to die. Well, God's not ready for me to die. So he destroyed the car while I was not in it. And that left a field open for what has transpired here. That I'm being given a car by a saint. And this saint has a halo like this. So I've come here to pick up that vehicle. On to the scriptures. Are you ready for the scriptures? I keep you up to date with what's happening with me. You're my friends. I kind of like this, not having this microphone in front of me. I got this giant desk back in Florida, right? I'm worried about, oh, I just said I'm not in Florida anymore, didn't I? I worried about people coming in, right? And I'm still going back there. And where do you see what's going to happen when I go back there? You're going to be surprised. I'm going to be broadcasting from a strange place. I'm going to keep you in suspense, but it's a wonderful thing for me. Only I would think that this is wonderful. Anyway, Yes, this is different, but I hope you're enjoying yourself. I know I am. So there are two unveilings in the unveiling. Did you know that? Not only is Jesus Christ unveiled, but the man of lawlessness is also unveiled. And he is revealed to us in the unveiling as a figure of a wild beast. Jesus Christ is known by various titles. He's known as the Savior. He's known as Messiah. He even takes the titles of God because he's worthy to take the titles of God. He's called Elohim. He's called Comforter. He calls himself the Door. He calls himself the Sheep Gate. He's the Water. Many things. So the Antichrist also has different names. Not as many, though, because he's not as good. Not as good as Jesus is. He's called the Man of Lawlessness by Paul. Of course, the King James says the Man of Sin. Same thing, I guess, except lawlessness is much more picturesque. Sin is the absence of law. Sin is the rebelling against law. Actually, it's simply the missing of the mark, but you can't miss the mark unless there is a mark, and the mark is usually law. Some kind of law. But the Apostle John calls him the Antichrist. Anti, and that's the reference there, 1 John 2:18, calls him the Antichrist. And you know what? I couldn't bring my scriptures with me. So just know this. I would turn to this reference. I know. What, Martin, you're doing the show without your scriptures? Forget about it. I didn't think that I would need them. Because I really honestly didn't think I'd be doing this show on the road. I thought that I was going to go a week without shows because I was having a little bit of a rough time, as I sometimes do. You know how I get? Discouraged with the work, discouraged with everything. But you know what? The show must go on. And I'm doing this for me as much as I am for you. We're in the Word, even though I don't have the Word with me. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Look, if the government takes away your Bibles, who cares? If the government tells you that you can't meet with fellow believers, who cares? Do what they say. Paul warns you about this in Romans chapter 13. He says, not for vain is the authority wearing the sword. You're supposed to be subject to the superior authorities because they are set by God to give God's mandate. That's God's mandate. God wants the authority to be in control. Who is in control? And I'm convinced that back in the first century, Paul was warning people who were in opposition to the Roman government, they were meeting anyway, the catacombs. The government said you can't get together to talk about Jesus Christ. Then don't. But instead, they gathered underneath the city of Rome in these catacombs that you can still visit today. It was dreary. It was cold. I think the coffee was terrible. But I think many of those people were probably dragged out of the catacombs and thrown to the lions. Paul is saying, don't let this happen to you. The authorities have been set by God. So you don't have to be at Bible studies to worship and glorify God. And I'm telling this to Israelites too. I'm telling this to Israelites who are listening to this during the Day of Indignation, should this video survive, that, well, it might be different then. Because the body of Christ will be gone. In fact, I'll say this. I've spoken on this before, but it's apropos here. That it could be that by the time these unfoldings of the unveiling take place, I know the body of Christ will be gone, and therefore it will be right to resist superior authorities. It will be right for Jews to follow God and not man. But now we are in an administration of grace. We are in a specific time period designated as the time of the nations, where we have no quarrel and no qualm with the superior authorities, even though they may be terrible. The superior authority in Paul's day was Nero, and he was not a happy man, not a kind man. He was a pain in the sphincter, and so you did what he said, and that's basically what Paul's saying, because the Word of God dwells in you richly. You don't have to get together to be a believer. You don't have to have the literal Bible with you. That's why in times of peace, we study the scriptures. If something happens dreadful where we can't get a hold of the scriptures, we know that the Word of God is in us and we can draw on it anytime. No one can take away your freedom to worship because your freedom to worship comes from God. And worship does not center around a book or a building. It centers around the Word of God. And the Word of God makes its home in you. Because you've read it, not because of your imagination. This isn't some kind of Pentecostal thing or we don't need the Bible. It's the fact that you've already studied it, you've read it, you've digested Paul's evangel, and it stays with you. The Antichrist, that word anti, it's a Greek prefix. It does not mean against Christ. You would think that against Christ. For instance, antipasto is against pasto. We all know this. Antichrist does not mean against Christ. It means instead of Christ. So the man of lawlessness, according to John's terminology, will be one who steps in instead of Christ. So John calls him the Antichrist in 1 John 2:18. Paul calls him the man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. And too often, people only think of the political aspect of Antichrist, such as is suggested by a king or a prince. But this is a man who will want worship, as evidenced by the fact that he goes into the temple. And this is how Paul presents him, as a man who goes into the temple, demands universal adoration. We, in this era of ours, we love our celebrities. We worship celebrities. And this is why this age is being groomed to be the age that will worship the Antichrist, because one man will rise and demand veneration above every other person and object. Now, the unveiling of Christ, this is another Antichrist thing, instead of Christ, is accomplished by power and accompanied by signs and miracles. I know I'm just hammering this into the ground. You're probably sick of it. But it needs to be covered again here, because Satan is going to supply the Antichrist with the same things Christ had instead of Christ. So it's going to be miraculous displays and shows of power, which humanity craves, and humanity's going to get it. And so, again, miracles at the end time. Here's the thing. God himself is going to enable the false prophet to do miracles. The false prophet is in cahoots with the Antichrist to do miracles that God did not allow back in the day. For instance, Elijah's day, the prophets of Baal, they were defeated on Mount Carmel by Elijah because they could not duplicate the miracle of Elijah. Elijah called down fire from heaven on his altar. That sacrifice burned up. The prophets of Baal tried to do it, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it because Elijah had set forth this criteria. The God that answers by fire, he is God. And the people answered, good is the word. Yeah, they said, that's good. We'll go with that. So this is the precedent. And so because this is the precedent, many people will fall for the wild beast being a prophet of God because he does the same miracle as Elijah, calls down fire, calls down fire. But so that's why you need to know that we're in a different era. Otherwise, you'll see, well, this is a precedent. The false god Baal could not bring down fire at the behest of his idiotic servants. So therefore, nobody can produce a miracle unless he's a man of God. Now we're seeing in the unveiling miracles produced, so this must be a man of God. So you have to be careful here and realize that we're in a different era, a different administration. We're in an era characterized by deception, in a case where false miracles will come and God himself will send the deception. So that's why there needs to be a warning here to undo this knowledge. Okay, only a prophet of God can do a miracle. Only a prophet of God can do a miracle. Not so. Back in the day it was so, but it's not going to be true in the future. Because as a matter of fact, both signs are significant. Both miracles. The miracle of the fire, the miracle of bringing back life, this resurrection. But now we're going to come to some really crazy thing, and that is the wild beast is going to bring up an image of the Antichrist, and that image is going to speak. It's going to be something that nobody's ever seen, but again, that people are primed for. The image of the wild beast speaks. There's no precedent for this. In the old day, a donkey spoke. That's very unusual for an ass to speak. Today, it's very unusual for an ass to stay quiet.